Brunn hoped the expert system knew what it was doing. It kept shifting them from one compartment to another, supposedly far from the malicious personnel scans. It said it was still trying to retrieve a better vocal synthesizer, too, and had dispatched another two mobile units. She wanted to ask if it had received any answer from Fleet. Surely they'd be doing something, but she simply could not get her fingers to work on the keyboard, and Hazel could not understand her gestures. She was so tired. She hoped it was only exhaustion and not hypoxia.
Brunn, wake up! I feel things in the decking. Vibrations.
It must remind her of her own capture, hiding in these vandalized rooms, waiting for someone to come, not knowing who. It must bring back all her nightmares. Brunn tapped her arm and grinned. Hazel grinned back, but there was no mirth in it. She could feel the knocks and vibrations herself. Someone closer, and more than one. She tried again with the compad keyboard.
Fleet assistance? I'm not sure. There have been two landings. Another two are imminent. Multiple intruders aboard, hostile to one another.
Then some of them must be friendly.
Not all the same shapes of shuttles, but no recognizable ID codes from the ones that appeared nearby.
Appeared? Launched from a larger ship that had micro-jumped nearby?
Try fleet codes on comm channels. I cannot access any transmissions from one set of intruders. I don't know what frequencies to use.
Shielded suit communications. That sounded more and more like Fleet. But someone should be listening in for unshielded transmissions.
All bands, use the codes I gave you.
The deck bucked, and Brunn and Hazel lost contact in the low gravity, bouncing into one of the bulkheads. Brunn's compad flew another way, its jack yanked from her suit connection. Hazel scrambled after it, as another series of vibrations and blows shook them. Something must have rammed the station, something with a lot more mass than a single person. Brunn could see into the next compartment, where the bulkhead had torn loose at the corner, leaving a triangular hole. The station could be coming apart around them. They might be flung loose into space, tiny seeds from a puffball head. Brunn fought down the panic. Right now, right this instant, they still had air, they still had intact pea suits, and they weren't freezing or full of holes. Hazel edged back to her and held out the compad and connector. Kutsudis reported that one of the incoming militia shuttles was likely to impact rather than dock.
He's coming in with way too much relative V. Gonna knock this station sideways. Counting down. 5, 4, 3, 2...
The deck bucked. In the minimal artificial gravity, a cloud of dust rose and hung like a tattered curtain.
They've made a mess out of that end of the arm, but don't seem to have damaged themselves much, unfortunately.
Keep us informed.
Esme had Mahari and five others with her as she tried to follow Brunn's scan signal through the maze of passages.
Lieutenant, I've got transmissions in fleet code from the station itself. Identifies itself as the station expert system.
What's it want?
Says two employees told it to contact us and gave it the codes. Says it's trying to protect them, and can we prove we're friendly?
The only person here who might know any fleet access codes was Brunn, but she was supposedly unable to talk.
But it can't contact this individual now. Says a communications device failed.
Can it direct us to her?
It says yes, but it won't until we can prove that we have a legal right to be here and that she knows us.
Worse and worse. Expert systems had a reputation for rigid interpretation of rules.
Tell it to confirm to her that we respond to fleet codes and ask her to sign a yes or no acceptance of her ID.
Yes, sir. It's trying, sir. It says she wants to know who it is. A name.
Esme thought a moment. According to Lord Thornbuckle, Esme was the last person Brunn would want to see, or should see. But that was a name she'd know.
She knows us, Lieutenant. Methlin and Oblo. She'll recognize that.
Go ahead, tell it that.
It's agreed. It's going to mark the way, and tell Sarah Meager someone's coming.
Tell it to give her a description of our suits, so she'll know us from the others.
Now her helmet display lit with the icons of the intruders. 20 red dots displayed on a graphic of the station wing. Esme followed the expert system's directions with her team. The others moved down the main corridor to intercept those landing. Here in the secondary corridor, occasional turquoise pea suits lay like dead bodies. Every one gave Esme a chill. But the expert urged them on, via the relay through the scan tech. At last, a compartment door slid open ahead of them. Cautiously, Esme edged forward. And there they were. Brunn, recognizable through the face mask of the pea suit, and a scared-looking young girl. Mahari moved past Esme and cleared her helmet face shield so Brunn could see her. Brunn staggered forward, moving as if she had serious damage, and fell into Mahari's grip.
Medical team!
They came at the double and unfolded the vacuum gurneys that allowed life support access to a pea-suited patient outside pressure. Only then did Esme think of asking Scan for the frequency that the expert and Brunn's suit must be using. She glanced around the compartment to see an obvious gap where bulkhead sections had warped apart. She couldn't tell if that was from the recent impact of the militia shuttle or old damage. It didn't matter. Brunn struggled to free herself from Mahari's grip and gestured at the girl. The medics unfolded another of the gurneys and unzipped it. They rolled each woman into her own, then zipped and sealed and popped the tanks. The transparent tents inflated, leaving sleeved access ports for treatment.
Please! She can't talk. She needs a way to communicate.
Sure. What's your name?
Hazel. Hazel Takaris. And she's Brune. She was using a compad with voice output, but the plug broke.
Esme found the compad and slid it into the transfer portal of Brune's gurney. She could see Brunn cycle it through, then hold it without using it. Plug broken? It must mean that she had needed to plug it into her pea suit. Brunn made the universal sign for air up, and Esme responded. Brunn popped an arm seal on her suit just as their safety instructor had taught them. Never trust anyone's word on air pressure. Then she peeled back one glove and tapped one of the compad's keys.
All correct.
Sarah Meager?
All correct.
Can you describe your current status?
No.
That, as Esme could see, was another button. The thing must have had pre-programmed messages.
Can you type complete answers?
No.
Esme turned away to consider their overall position. The militia that had crunched into this wing were about halfway to their part of the wing, though coming down the main corridor.
Trouble. Big trouble. Bad guys on the other end are carrying explosives. Can't see if the ones on your end are, but they could be.
The mobile units available to the expert system were secondary models which had survived the initial vandalization by looking like simple boxes. It had taken longer than the expert expected to recharge one of them, get its tracks moving, and send it off to Laboratory 121 to look for voice synthesizers. But now it was on its way. The expert kept an area of higher artificial gravity moving along with it to keep its tracks in firm contact with the deck plating. It dispatched another, and then another, in case the first should be disabled somehow. Clearly, it was important to get a communications device to the taller human. The first unit reached the lab and extended a pincer arm to pick up one of the synthesizers. The unit flipped off the deck and out of the area of higher gravity. It flew across the lab into the corridor and impacted the opposite bulkhead just behind the group of neuro-enhanced Marines that had stalked past.
Hostile! What is it? That thing just flew out the hatch at me.
Something bounced loose by the hit.
Looked like one of those robot bomb crawlers when I saw of it.
Well, keep an eye out for others.